come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website, and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo
at Serenity Sunday 2023
or through PayPal, SerenitySunday1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
My name is Brian L.
I'm so sorry. How would you like your time again?
5 minutes. Just when 5 minutes left, let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater, 100 pounder. I used to weigh over 300 pounds. I have 6 years and 4 months of abstinence and am maintaining about 120 pound weight loss. That's all true. It's all true. For me, I am a drug addict with food. I eat food the way a drug addict uses heroin or cocaine. And I want to suck the life out of something. I want to reach into it, and I want to take the best parts and keep it for myself. And I have certain personality characteristics. I'm very selfish. I don't really care about other people the way I should. And I think that's related to my selfishness. I don't see my part in my behavior a lot of the time. So I'll go and I'll step on other people's toes and retaliate like the big book talks about. And then I'll say, hey, what are you doing that for? I didn't do anything to you, but I did. I did something to that person. I just am not aware of my behavior. I think my first wife who passed away, she called me a bull in a china shop. I'm moving through life. I'm affecting the people around me. And I don't care because I can't see it. That's part of my addiction. That's part of my disease. And I think one of the essential behaviors that I had was I used the story I told myself about my life to allow me to hurt myself with food. And I think hurting myself with food is exactly the same thing as a teenager who cuts themselves because they feel bad. There's no difference. If I'm taking food and I'm stuffing it into my body in a way where I'm eating in that sick way, and I'm getting acid reflux and pre-diabetic and all the other things, there's no difference than if I were to go ahead and just put my hand in a door jamb and slam the door on my hand. It's exactly the same thing. To me, that's how I see it. There's no difference. You know, somebody who's a compulsive overeater, they may look down on a bulimic or an anorexic, or the anorexic bulimic looks down on the compulsive. Who knows? We have all sorts of crazy ideas. But I know this. I know that the way that I ate, I was hurting myself with food. I was damaging myself. And today, by the grace of my higher power, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to hurt myself. People talk about, when did I know I was a compulsive overeater? I think I was always a compulsive overeater. I think I always had this personality. I think I always had these defects of character. And it's okay. Today I can live with who I am. I can understand who I am by the grace of God. I have a power I can draw upon to correct that. But how it was in the beginning, I wasn't even aware of what I was doing. I just knew, I mean, because I was young, I didn't really gain a lot of weight, maybe a little chubby, but I never had a lot of weight that I carried until I got into my 20s and I got into a relationship. And then I just ballooned, gained 70, 80, 100 pounds. And I started dieting probably around, I remember dieting in my teenage years and really destructive diets like, oh, I'm going to eat a can of tuna fish for lunch. I mean, that's it's insanity. And what's even me is when I was in my 20s, I thought I understood dieting when I had absolutely no idea about nutrition. I still don't. I know nothing about nutrition. I have nutritionists that I call and say, what should I do? Because I don't really know. I thought I knew. I know everything about nutrition. I don't. I have blinders. I have blind spots. And I think another sort of very common occurrence, you know, that the 12 and 12 says that I hated everyone I didn't know. If I didn't know you, I didn't want to know you. I only loved the people I could control, the people around me that I could control. And I think that comes from a feeling that I had of always being a part from, never a part of. I'm not a joiner. I don't join groups. I don't want to join a group. I don't want to be part of the group. I don't want to be part of the community. I want to be by myself. And that, I believe, is part of the disease, too, for many of us, that we are loners and we want to be by ourselves, isolating by ourselves. My kids come over and my wife will say, why are you watching TV in the bedroom? The kids are here. Go hang out with the kids. It's part of my disease. I'm convinced that I have this innate desire to be apart from. And I think that's also a defect of character. My job is to be a part of. And it's through this program and through my fellows that I've learned to connect with people and to actually be a part of. Every day, my goal is to make 3 phone calls every day. And I don't see my friends in OA as my OA friends. They're my friends. I've made that conversion over. Now, I came to program in 2003. I had 2 years of abstinence. I don't know if I really was abstinent considering I made up my own program. I had no sponsor. I did it my way. And that didn't last. And that didn't work. And I was only able to lose about 50 pounds. I never worked the steps. I didn't read the big book. I didn't want to read the big book. And I was like, show me the food plan. Just give me the diet and I'll go. That works for me. I'll come to meetings. Meetings I was willing to do. I was willing to do nothing else. And then the OA people. Those are the OA people. Okay, I walked into these rooms. I was like, these people are not for me. This is not my program. That was my initial reaction. And it was only 13 years later, in utter desperation, being over 300 pounds, being just terribly miserable. I went to a men's stag meeting on the phones. I live 2 hours away in the foothills of the Sierras. And I went to a men's stag meeting and I heard the guy speaking. And I could hear he had a great program. And he had at the time 8 years of abstinence. And I called him up and I said, will you sponsor me? And he said, what are you willing to do? And I said, I'll do anything you tell me. And that's really where I was. I would do anything he told me to do. And he said, okay, I'll sponsor you. And that's where I started. I started 9 years ago with him when I came back to this program. But it wasn't all roses. 3 years later, I relapsed on a trip to Disney World. So even in the desperation, I relapsed. It is a cunning disease. It is a baffling disease. Thank God I have 6 years now of back-to-back abstinence with a sponsor following direction. And he has a sponsor. And I know my sponsor and I know his sponsor. And they're both abstinent and they're both working this program. And it was a long road. And I don't want anybody to think, hey, I came to OA and I tried and I've been here for a year and I'm not abstinent and I'm struggling. That's okay. It takes a lot of time. For me, it took a lot of time. I have compassion for people. I know this is not like you're just going to walk in here. Some people do. Some people have that gift. I didn't have that gift. It took me 13 years to get it here, or 15 years. And it is what it is. That's okay. So every day I get up and I read on awakening. I say about five prayers. I meditate for 5 minutes. I try to do that every day that I can, every single day. The big book says that our program has to have depth and weight. Depth and weight. What is that? What do I hear when I hear depth and weight? I have to have some kind of spiritual relationship with a higher power, whatever that higher power is. Do I understand? I came in here an agnostic. I was an atheist before that. And now today I believe in a higher power. Do I believe in Santa Claus or a man in the sky? No, I don't. I don't know what higher power is. All I know is this. I asked higher power for help and I got help. I said, please don't make me eat today. Let me have relief. And I went to a meeting and I did the work and I followed direction. I think that's like the biggest ingredient for me was when I was willing to follow direction. And I don't know why I was willing to follow direction. It probably had to do with desperation. But does anybody really know what it was that got them where they were? All I know is this. I was super desperate. I followed direction and I was able to put days together of abstinence. And in that abstinence, I realized that if I asked this higher power for help, I got it. And that includes, I remember in my first year, 9 years ago, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, having panic attacks. When I stopped eating, the panic attacks started coming. And they came at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I felt like I was a failure, that my life was going to fall apart, that I would be homeless and on the street. All these fears, so much fear. And I would say, higher power, I need help. I can't handle this. And I would say it over and over and over again. And eventually I started falling asleep again. And whatever it was, that power came and helped me through it. It wasn't match. I don't know. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain why there's something in the universe that if I ask for help, I get it. But I find that that is a rule. If I ask for help, if I have a problem, I say, higher power, I know you have the answer for me. I just have to wait until it reveals itself. And it does. It reveals itself. And I don't have to go into a spiral of fear and a spiral of panic and stress. But that's my nature. That's my regular nature. And that's why I lack power. The big book says we lack power. So I need power in my life. And I see that power as coming from spiritual relationship with this thing called higher power. Again, I don't understand it. I can't claim to understand it. I just know it exists experientially. That's my experience. When I put my life in higher power's care, when I turn my life over to the care of higher power, a care comes. And that's a big jump for a lot of people. And I get that could be really difficult. So I grew up in a very pretty loving home. Really, the only thing that was not right was me. I didn't feel a part of the family. I felt apart from. And I couldn't explain it. I would sit around the table and look at them and say, I don't know who these people are. Like, I don't feel connected. Maybe that's part of it. I just never felt connected. And then as I got older, I remember in high school one day, this guy, Dan, he turned to me and he says, you're a loner, man. You don't join with everybody else. And I was surprised because I never had thought about it, but it was true. And as I got older and in my relationships, I definitely could see that I was not going to join groups. I was not going to become part of. I was going to be apart from. And I wanted to be apart from because I believed that the rules did not apply to me. That was another part of my defects of character. And I remember one day my sponsor said to me, he says, what are your defects of character? And I said, I don't have any. And I believed that at the time. Today, thank God, I've awoken to the many defects of character that I have as a result of the gift of this program and doing a four-step. But I believed I didn't have any. I believed the problem was you, not me. And today I know problem is me, not you. Because if the problem isn't me, there's no solution. But if the problem is me, there is a solution. I can do something about the situation by changing me. And that was a huge wake-up call. I think I always have to see what my part in it is. So I started working the program and I started following direction. And I learned a couple of things. So my sponsor said, eat 3 plates of food a day with 1 snack and nothing in between. And if there are any alcoholic foods, let's identify them. So my sponsor practiced sober eating. I practice sober eating. It's one path in the food. And we identify alcoholic foods, foods that create a phenomenon of craving that, in the doctor's opinion, talks about wanting to go ahead and eat more of right away. So if I eat something like bread, for me, bread triggers me. I want more right away. I just say, you know what? I don't eat bread. I haven't had bread in 9 years. And I didn't say, oh, I'm not going to eat bread for 9 years. I said, I'm not going to eat bread today. And I also don't eat sugar. So sugar and bread are off the table. I don't eat white rice. It's very personal and individualistic what foods trigger who. There are guys in the group who can eat bread. I can't. And that's okay. And you know what? I really haven't missed it in all these years. I think it's a cost benefit. What am I getting as a result of not living in the hell of wanting more all the time? I remember those days. I remember when I'd be hungry right after I finished breakfast. Look, when I finish my breakfast, I'm sad. I want more. I mean, I want more food all the time. It makes me sad. But I know that there is so much more to my life without that food, numbing me out, drugging me out, making me high, because that's what I was doing. I was getting high with food. And so what am I doing today? I have 7 sponsees. So I have 7 sponsees that I work with. It fluctuates. Sometimes I go up to 8. Sometimes I go down to 6. It depends if they stick around or not. But I have sponsees. I have a group of men that I talk to every day, that I'm involved with, that I meet with twice a week. I have a home meeting, Studio City, permanent recovery meeting at 7:30 at the church on Whitsitt. I go to that meeting every Sunday at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday, which sounds crazy, but if you're desperate, you'll do anything. I'm desperate. I still can feel that desperation that I had 9 years ago. I remember what it was like being over 300 pounds. Physically, I remember the heartburn. I remember the doctor telling me I was pre-diabetic. I remember not being able to clean myself very well because I couldn't reach all the parts of my body.
5 minutes left.
Thank you. Thank you. I remember all of that. And that desperation lives within me today. I don't want to go back there. So I have to take the steps that I take. So I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to get up at 5:30 every morning to meet with sponsees from 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning and read Big Book with them. I'm willing to take 5th steps. Sometimes they take hours and hours and hours. I'm willing to do that work. And I think it's really important to talk about the 12 steps. 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, step 1 through step 12. I practice living in 10, 11, and 12. I believe that, and I did have a spiritual experience. It wasn't a wham, bam, bill, you know, had this giant experience. No, that it was the educational variety. It took a long time. But when I did my 4th and 5th step and 6th and 7th, something happened in me. I felt the love and acceptance of my higher power, something I never felt before. I never believed God, in big G-O-D, accepted me for who I was. And today I do. And so that was a huge realization, to be able to accept oneself, to be able to look in the mirror and not feel less than. And what's my life like today? I am married. I have 3 stepdaughters who I love and love me. I have a wife who loves and I love her. She loves me. I have a great job. I make more money than I ever made, 3 times as much money as when I wasn't abstinent. I absolutely believe it's programmed. Program makes me efficient. Program makes me willing to do the things I'm not usually willing to do, because I'm a person who just wants to do what I feel like doing. If I feel like doing it, I do it. If I don't feel like doing it, I don't do it. That's not my life today. Today, I do what I have to do. I'm not saying I do it perfectly. It's okay. I don't have to do it perfectly. But I understand that I have a whole bunch of feelings and ideas, and I don't have to live my life according to those feelings and ideas. I can do the next right indicated action that I'm told to do, or that I discern is coming from a higher power. I can get out of bed at 5:30 in the morning every day. If you would have spoken to me 10 years ago, I would have said, I'm a late night guy. I don't get up early in the morning. I sleep in. I don't start work till 11 o'clock in the morning. That's not me anymore. And it's just action. It's just changing actions. It's just following direction. And that takes a long time. But I'm grateful for it. I'm very grateful. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm willing to do practically anything for this program because of that, because it's changed my life. I don't live in the same city I used to live in. My life, I don't have the same job. Everything is different. And it's a better life for me. And a lot of the promises have come true. And every day I wake up and I say, can I give today to God? Can I just let go of the results? Can I be of service to my customers? Can I be of service to my boss? Can I be of service to my wife? Can I be of service to my kids? Because that's really what it's about. And the more I can disconnect from my selfishness and connect to them, the better off I am, the happier I am. I've never been as happy as I am today. It took a long time to get to this point, but I don't think I could have designed it better. And that's why I think it's true. If we can let go of our way and let go of our feelings and follow the program, there's an amazing future out there. And that's my wish for everybody. Thank you very much.